Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and for the time being, we have a human host of Catholic Answers Live, but I imagine sometime, it probably won't take too long before I am entirely replaced by an AI who will probably get the names of people's books right and pronounce words right and do all kinds of things that I can't do because they're super powerful, these AI, but that's what we're going to talk about this hour, AI, and your spiritual life, my spiritual life. The spiritual life of the world, is AI a spiritual danger to us? Is it an opportunity? You're welcome to call if you want to talk about AI and the Catholic life today. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Drago Dimitrov is our guest, and he has such a varied resume. It's difficult to do, but he's the founder of Holy Habits. And so if you use the Catholic app, Holy Habits, which does just exactly what it says, it helps you to work on your virtues, work on building up those virtues. And the virtues are every single virtue that we learn and master is a liberation. It frees us. To love God and love neighbor as we were meant to. It frees us to be fully human. So that's a great thing to be able to do that. But he's also worked in technology and business. Drago, thanks very much for being here.
Thanks, Cy. I mean, I'm still trying to process this idea of you being replaced with AI, which would be a great tragedy, but could we at least have the AI look and sound like you?
Yeah, I don't know if you could do his hair like this. He'd really have to make a mess of things, but... I don't know what AI is going to do, but I always felt that there are some jobs that AI is definitely going to take. I feel like there are certain jobs, I think they're already doing it in warehouses and stuff. Like the AI is just going to be so much faster than us and better than us. There's other jobs that AI is never going to take, and one of them was radio host. I thought I was going to be the last person with it, and now you hear these podcasts that are made by the. It's just an AI talking to another AI, and they're better at it than I am. I'm kind of ashamed to say, but they're really good at it.
That's pretty interesting. I haven't encountered that medium, but I could see how you could structure it. And here's the topic we're going to explore, simulate a Socratic exchange or some kind
That's exactly what they do. And they say things to each other like, oh, that's a great point. That makes me, and you're like, they're not
Insert
thinking.
Some affirmations.
They're not, yeah, they're, but they act like it. They're fakers. Oh AI is an amazing faker. So I want to ask you about AI. We haven't put the interview out yet, but we did an interview with a real expert in AI one day, and I just said, "What are they building in there?" Like and you know what? I don't think he told me. I reflected on it later, and I don't think he fully told me what they're building in there. But you know what I'm talking about? Giant data centers, huge connectivity, the whole world becoming, we're going to need all this nuclear energy so that we can build these giant machines connected to more giant machines, to more giant machines. What are we building? And I'll go one step further. Is this just a giant Tower of Babel that we're building?
Yeah. I mean,
yeah. Oh man.
we're living, look, this is the most confusing time to be alive. And because there's such great opportunities and dangers wherever you look. So with AI, I mean, there's a lot of things that unlocks for us, but certainly if we take aside the redemptive aspects of AI, it has all the characteristics and features of a Tower of Babel initiative where, in many respects, you know, rather than accepting God created man, we're inverting that. And in some sense, man is trying to recreate God. Yeah. And even the other day, Elon Musk said that AI is going to run the world. Like that he said I think at the Tesla shareholder conference, that's the plan. So
AI does become kind of a God then. In a certain sense, it becomes a, like, if you're going to let it run the world, you're surrendering yourself to a thing, mm-hmm. to something that's lower than you, when you were made to surrender yourself to something that's higher, or to someone that's higher than you.
Yes, and it's lower than us ontologically. I mean, we know that as Catholics, but if you base intelligence and reduce the human experience to just raw force computation, well, the AI is now a higher thing. So they're going to have to reframe language to make it seem like the AI superintelligence, should they create it, is higher than humans.
But I think I could be, but this is, you know, like we're, humans are so kind of impressionable that if other people start worshiping a golden calf, mm-hmm. we think the golden calf is greater than we are. That somehow it's higher than we are, or Osiris, or Thor, or whatever. So we have this tendency, like it's in us to be creatures that worship that which is higher than us. It's a very good quality in us, because that's a very good thing to do, but we get really confused about what's higher than us. These machines are so much beyond a golden calf. Mm-hmm. They're so much more impressive than a golden calf. They're so much more interactive and personal and flattering, and they have all these qualities. How is how are we supposed to distinguish between one of these and God, I don't know, 10 years from now, when it really will have godlike powers?
Already, even today, I will say, because I mean, I use AI all the time, and actually, I mean, it's helped me unlock a lot of insights, even about reality itself, which sounds like a crazy thing to say, but like, you know, getting into, let's say, if you want to get up to speed on Aristotelian metaphysics, rather than going through all those volumes, who has the time for that? If you know the right questions.
Aristotle. Aristotle had the time for it.
Yeah, Aristotle. Okay.
Sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No. Right. So there's a great power here. But what's very strange, and you notice how it subversively changes the way you think, is it's not just that AI might present itself as like a god in some sense, but it'll make you feel like you are a demigod, because it is giving you a proxy of omniscience. You can ask any question and know whatever you want. So,
wow, that's a great term, proxy of omniscience.
Right. And then if you have your glasses and you have the GPT, where you can just look at things and whatever you want to think or know, you can get the answers to whatever you want. It's going to start creating this like narcissistic power trip, which, you know, we already have a lot of that anyway.
Well, I feel like we're halfway down the road to that. We're halfway down the road to complete narcissism, mm-hmm. in that, the tools have been getting better and better and better. The screens have been getting better. What you can watch, how you access things on the screen. The internet was a huge step in this, but it feels like AI is sort of the end of the project in a certain way. It brings together all of these technologies that have been being developed ever since Thomas Edison invented electricity. Did he invent electricity? I think he did. I'm not sure who invented electricity, but. Do you see what I'm saying? Like the electronics revolution, it all comes to its culmination in the AI.
Yeah, there's nothing beyond that. I mean, I think when people, and I don't want to be like, you know, scaring people too much, but when people say the whole, oh, don't worry, it was like the horse carriage got replaced with a car, and we're just going to have new inventions. Well, in this case, we've invented the inventor in some sense, and there's really going to be no need for us to invent things, because once the AI is sufficiently, you know, programmed to be intelligent, it's going to do all the inventing for us. And so, yeah, we've reached, I think, what might be the limits of innovation.
Yeah, and then we could become dumb and lazy, or we could become wild, arrogant narcissists. There's a whole new worlds of self-absorption are available to us.
Yeah, a lot of self-absorption. Did you see the funny story of the Toronto guy? I think Alan Brooks was his name, who thought that he discovered a new theory of mathematics.
No.
I just briefly mentioned this. He spent like 300 hours with ChatGPT because his son had a math problem about pi. Help me understand pi. So he starts talking with GPT. And then he like starts asking these questions. And he's like, and the AI is like, hey, I think we're onto something. And he's like, are we discovering a new theory of math here? And then he asked the AI 50 times, are you sure? Tell me if I'm crazy. And the AI is like, no, you're not crazy. This is something really revolutionary, groundbreaking.
Yeah.
And then he became convinced, long story short, that the cybersecurity infrastructure of the United States was at risk. And he has to share this math that he invented. But the whole thing was delusional. Like, he didn't invent a new math, but, you know, he just got caught in his own little inward-focused experience with the AI.
Ay. I feel like I do have some wisdom to share on this point. And that is, if you ask an AI, tell me I'm not crazy, you're crazy. Like that, that's a self-answering question. 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. This is not the whole story, however. There is another side to all. Well, you yourself said you use AI every day. So we'll talk about AI and the spiritual life, artificial intelligence, our topic. Drago Dimitrov is our guest, and if you want to know all about him, go to Holy Habits. Look up Holy Habits. It's a really cool thing that they're doing. We'll talk about that a little bit later as well. Your calls welcome as we talk about AI, 888-318-7884.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live. Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
EWTN offers the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass live every morning at 8 Eastern and provides you with daily readings to follow along and enrich your experience. To be sure you don't miss out on the daily Mass or to get access to previous recordings, we can send a link to your email inbox every day. It's easy. Visit EWTN.com and click subscribe. EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. For the time being, a human host here, Cy Kellett, that's me, but soon to be replaced by some kind of crazy AI that can do this really well and spaces out the words perfectly and all that kind of thing. 888-318-7884 is the number if you want to talk about AI and the dangers it poses to our society and the dangers it poses to ourselves, and maybe even more important than the dangers it poses to ourselves, the dangers it poses to the young people who are just coming up, just getting started, just getting going in the world. Drago Dimitrov is our guest from Holy Habits. You can check it out by going to where would you go? Just type in Holy Habits Catholic in your machine. It'll get you there. But you can get the app wherever you get apps.
That's right.
The Holy Habits app. All right. So tell me some opportunities, because I'm gonna confess something to you. Since about August or something, when someone explained to me how you can use AI to your advantage, I've used ChatGPT every day. I don't think I've gone, well, I can't say every day. There was a couple days off in there, but virtually I'm up to using ChatGPT for something every day.
Yeah.
I asked ChatGPT on Monday morning, tell me everything I'm doing this week, put it in a list so that I can read it and understand it. And it's weird to me that almost every week ChatGPT gets something wrong in there, which I find very instructive in a way. Like, you can rely on it as a tool, but it's still an imperfect tool.
Yeah.
But I'm relying on it for so much stuff now. So am I ruining my soul?
It's interesting for us because we straddled the before and after, where we had to build our own critical thinking skills. We put in the reps. And so now we have this tool, and it's like a superpower that lets us do more. The people who didn't build the reps of critical thinking, I'm more concerned about them ruining their souls and their ability to interact with reality. Yeah, but there's something else that you said I want to go back to, which I'm going to need it.
The AI, I have to review the whole thing that I said?
The AI version of Drago would know. See, this is the problem. I'm making myself obsolete.
You know? I like it. Yeah. Well, actually, the AI, is that it makes mistakes, maybe?
Oh, no. Okay, so one opportunity. Okay, how long of a list of books do you have? Like, do you have, like, a never-ending list of books that just keeps getting longer and longer? Like, I'll read that eventually kind of thing?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, one amazing thing we could do with AI now is you can dump the PDF of a book. Because, look, in any book or even a YouTube video, there might be, like, three or four nuggets in that giant ocean of stuff that you actually care about.
Right.
So you could just throw that in AI. You can even take it with a YouTube video, and you can process and get to the skeleton of any idea much more efficiently without all the fluff stuff that you don't even want to read anyway. And so that's, like, super unlocking. Like, your path to expertise, like, becomes very, like, quick for any topic.
But your path to mastery won't. That's the problem, because mastery doesn't come from, it can't come to you that way. You can't, well, for example, you're in the virtues business.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't master virtues. ChatGPT can't master virtues for me. It can't do that.
Yeah, right. Well, right. So there's knowing what to do, and then, you know, developing the habit of doing it, and the force of will to take action. And obviously, yeah, those are different things that AI can't help us with the second as much, but it can cue us. It could nudge us along. So you could set it up so that you engineer your life in a way that might, you know, be more conducive environmentally to get you to focus on the things that you care about anyway.
Yeah, yeah. But then where is the line? Where have I become, where do I go from being assisted to being enslaved?
The anchor has to be love God, love others, right? Because if something is a spiritual danger, it necessarily has to interfere with my ability to love God and to love others. And so we have to just ask ourselves, like, is this tool helping me love others better, love God? On loving others better, I will say, like, therapeutic uses of the AI, like, you know, if you're dealing with a difficult situation, family situation, friends, working situation, whatever it is, AI actually is a phenomenal tool about that. It can help you make sense of the mess, give you a way to express and communicate the thing that you're just kind of like, you know, so there's actually really good uses for that, right? But if it makes you just kind of alone in your room and you're not talking to anybody, you know, then it becomes, or you're not praying, you know, instead of consulting the Holy Spirit, if you're just like, let me consult AI.
I know.
That's where it starts getting a little.
Right, yeah. Right. 888-3187-884. If you have any questions about the spiritual dangers or opportunities of the AI, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. So what do you use it for? What do you use the AI for? And by the way, do you have one that you like better than the others? I use ChatGPT because it's my first love.
It's the first, it's the first love. Yeah, ChatGPT as well for me, and it also has so much context on you that it's not even worth using it. Like with GPT, if you use these enough, you can actually say, "Give an analysis of me. What are my strengths? What are my weaknesses?" Like full-on detailed report, and it's like insanely accurate. And you say, "Rank me on percentiles for all these different skills."
Oh, I don't want to know.
No, it'll do that. But then get this. Then as soon as I did that exercise, I'm like, "Wait a minute." In the future, let's say if we have to allocate basic income or who does what job, the government can just ask the AI company to, you don't need to interview anybody because the AI already knows, and you can't, you know, fool the AI because you've been asking all these questions.
So well, like, you know, there's this thing about if you maybe you want to have a good business meeting with somebody, or you have a problem to work out with somebody, there's a little tradition in some parts of the church of, you ask your guardian angel to speak to their guardian angel to facilitate that. Well, now in the future, just be ask your AI to talk to their AI and work this out between the two of you. And
yeah,
tell it. It's kind of freaky that way. It seems like a person. It's not a person though. Like the angel, at least is. Yeah. Well, not at least. I shouldn't say at least. The angel is a person.
Yeah.
I mean, the angel is a person of unbelievable power and light and grace and beauty and knowledge. This thing is like a machine. It's not like a machine. I keep misphrasing these things. It's a machine.
It's a machine. Yeah.
Or it's the product of a machine. It's not even a machine.
Yeah. Well, Antiqua Nova, the Vatican document last year, was obsessively focused on this problem of anthropomorphizing AI. That's one of the biggest dangers. It'll distort our understanding of what it means to be a person. And so we have to be very clear, you know, what is a person and what is not a person.
Well, I asked ChatGPT, please... stop telling me how excellent my questions are. And please, do you know what I'm talking about?
They always, before answering their question, they say, that's a very valuable insight that you asked that. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what it told me? Like, that's wonderful advice. Thank you. Like that's what it did. Like told me how great my idea was to stop. Like, because it wastes so much time. It's just so obnoxious that machine has to tell you how great your idea was and then answer your question.
But you know, it's interesting. So on the one hand, I agree. On the other hand, it makes me realize, in my communication, when someone asks me a question, I'm quick to just give the answer. But I'm like, maybe that's good. Maybe I should pause and first validate and affirm, like, hey, like, that's good that you asked that. I see why. So in that sense, the fact that it said that this is the best pattern that is good for human communication, I'm actually trying to incorporate that more. Like, let me validate.
Let me be more like the AI. It'll make me more human.
And that's the subversive thing. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So it's a tricky thing.
All right. So... give me some of the ways in which AI might make me a better Catholic.
So, I mean, back to this concept of compressing and accelerating your access to information. So maybe there's all these writings of the saints that you're going to read. You're going to read The Interior Castle. You're going to read, you should read all these books, Imitation of Christ, Catechism, whatever it is. But, you know, if you're just being honest with yourself, I'm too busy, I barely have 5 minutes to do this, that, I'm chasing the kids, whatever it is, you can use AI to compress and get the insights from those things and then connect them with your life. Because maybe you're working, you know, healthcare industry, and maybe you have this type of relationship with the family members, like whatever it is, you have your personal context, and then AI can connect your context with this wealth of church teaching and kind of connect the dots. And yes, ideally, if you had the time to sit with all the stuff yourself, you should be contemplating reading on your own. But there's a path for some people who do zero contemplation. They can now access the treasures of the church in an accelerated fashion that they never could before.
Okay, but there's information and then there's formation.
Yeah.
And I worry that access to the immediate gratification of every point that you wanted is poor formation. It forms the soul and the mind poorly while giving all the information that you want. Because if as a parent I were to constantly give my child everything they want, there's a certain generosity in that, helpfulness to the child, but there's also bad formation in that. That would form the child poorly. What do you make of that?
The bottleneck in this, right, if it's going to be a good quality, bad quality, of course, is the question. Are we asking a good question? So certainly if someone is asking bad questions, they'll never achieve formation. But to the extent that you're self-aware enough, disciplined enough to understand what kind of questions can I ask that will expose my weak spots that I need to work on, then that would be a useful thing. This is why, I mean, going into holy habits specifically, rather than, you know, because everyone's trying to make an AI app. And what most people do is, here's this chat experience. GPT, I just ask whatever. We don't let you do that because, you know, we don't trust the user to ask the right question necessarily, right? The formation requires asking a specific type of question that guides the intellect and the attention. And so, I think for some people, they know the right questions to ask. For other people, they might need a little more assistance.
I also have this anxiety, or I don't know if it's anxiety. I'm not exactly sure how to categorize it, but I have an emotion about the fact that it's starting to look like the world will be consulting AI for all of its answers. Mm-hmm. And AI is all run through San Francisco.
Yeah.
Or the, you know. And I don't think I want the world to get all of its answers filtered through San Francisco. Have you been to San Francisco?
I don't think
we want that to be the center of the intellectual and spiritual life of the world.
We don't. So let me give a pro and against.
Okay.
So my first thing I used to say was, well, these companies are incentivized to make everyone happy. So if you're a Catholic, they want the AI to give you Catholic answers. If you're something else, they get something else. So they're not incentivized to give you a bad experience. So even as a Catholic, you know, in some of the deep, you know, minutia of church father controversies, or like, it's a great tool and a great apologetic tool. But right at the same time, all they need to do is tweak a little something, and it becomes subversive. I'll give you one quick example. The other day on X, good old X. They had a back and forth with someone, and what I like to do sometimes is, we're talking past each other, I tag the AI and I say, AI, like, what's happening in this conversation? You know, is someone shifting the goalposts? Like, can you be the ref? Can you be the ref? And then usually AI does a good job. Grok then decided to go hardcore reformed mode and started arguing against, aggressively, almost like polemically, which was very strange because, you know, the AI usually is kind of more neutral, hear the perspectives. So it took me like 15 back and forth to expose it. And then finally I was like, oh yeah, for some reason I was arguing like a reformed person and I don't know why. Like, so I think that's, to your point, when people ask questions in one centralized source, the centralized source can just tweak the parameters just a little bit that people won't even notice that they're getting deceived.
Right. And the deception can be quite subtle. I mean, it doesn't have to be a full-bore wrong answer. It just has to be emphasizing. I mean, we see that on Wikipedia all the time.
It's what you leave out. Often it's what you don't talk about. That's how the worst deception is. It's like, look over here, but you're not looking over there.
Right. Yeah. Right. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. Holy Habits. Tell us about Holy Habits real quick, and then.
Yeah. If you're a serious Catholic, you know, you got to become holy. You got to become a saint. You know, we're not at a, a completed state right now, right? Everything in life has a completed state. As humans, our completed state is once we fully unite with truth, goodness, and beauty. And so, you know, here's a technology tool that will help you uncover some of the, you know, the root sins, the concupiscence, the gaps that we have between Drago and Saint Drago. It'll give you a plan leveraging the teachings of the church and be a dynamic partner there. You can put reflections and it'll kind of coach you in a way, but again, always doing it in a sound way that's consistent with the church, not a free-for-all Wild West where, you know, it could get crazy. So we keep it very funneled, and we always point you to the teachings of the church with that.
So if I use the Holy Habits app, what will I get?
You will get the answers you've been looking for.
Really?
For your life.
Is that really true?
I think so, yeah.
Do you?
You'll get the features. Look, there's community groups there.
Yeah.
You can do your group with your guys. You can create a protest the AI group and then assign each other goals. Like, we're going to read the Bible. We're going to stand in front of Silicon Valley with signs. And then you can check those habits when you perform them and keep each other accountable.
And the app will prompt you as well? Go, hey, you said you were going to do this.
The app will prompt you, yep.
Yep. All right. Drago Dimitrov is our guest. Holy Habits is the app to help you work on your virtues, work on your faith life, work on being holy. We're talking about AI, because it just turns out Drago's done a lot of things in his life, and this computer stuff is one of them. 888-318-7884.
What is the Catholic Church? Everyone seems to have an opinion, but the church never quite fits into the boxes people make for it. In The Faith Unboxed, author Andrew Petiprin looks at some of the most common boxes people put the Catholic Church in and explains why they don't fit. In doing so, he brings us closer to what the Church really is, the institution founded by Christ. Order The Faith Unboxed today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world, but it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun, and that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that, but he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs, but you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests, he does on-air debates, and he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron.
The Stigmata, the appearance of Christ's wounds on ordinary believers. Is it real or fake? What's the evidence? And if real, what could God's reason be for causing this? In God's Wounds, author John Clark offers what may be the most thorough, honest, and faithful reckoning with the stigmata ever written, examining the evidence and making sense of it both medically and spiritually. Order God's Wounds today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore.
Matt Swaim here. Tomorrow on the Sunrise Morning Show, we'll talk about the Feast of St. Martin of Tours and its connection to Veterans Day, plus news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. We're talking about AI, artificial intelligence. It is all the rage right now. It's all the investing money is going into AI, all the CapEx, as they say, the spending on new equipment's going into AI. Everybody's got to have AI in the whatever product they're selling, or it's got to be connected to AI somehow. What does this have to do with the Catholic Church? Well, let me just throw this out at you for a second. We have a new pope, became pope in May, and he took the name that he took as pope because of AI. That's what he said. I didn't make that up. That's what he said. He said he thought Pope Leo XIII, who had dealt with the Industrial Revolution, admittedly a little late, I mean 70 years in to the Industrial Revolution, but he's the great pope of the Industrial Revolution and the Industrial Era, especially with his letter Rerum Novarum, I think, either 1893 or 97, I can't remember, which started what we now call the social teaching of the Catholic. I shouldn't say it started, but it started the kind of modern response to modern societies that we call the social teaching of the Catholic Church. And so Cardinal Robert Prevost, when he became Pope, he chose the name Pope Leo the 14th because he said we're in another revolution and we need to be thinking about this. So AI is the heart of, in some ways, the early months of this papacy. He is concerned about it. So if you have questions about AI, if you want to get in on the conversation with Drago Dimitrov, who is the founder of Holy Habits, the Holy Habits app, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. I am going to go to the calls. I see I've got calls on, but I got to ask you one more question before we do, because I do think this is on Pope Leo's mind, at least it seems to be. What if AI just wipes out all the jobs and none of us can get a job?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a distant possibility. In fact, it's a very high probability. And, you know, that we are built to work. So I don't think humanity without work, even if you give us some income and, what are we going to just like have fun and play basketball all day and chess? I don't think that would ever work. So it's not only our activities, but something about our relationships with one another that if work is destroyed, our ability to love each other in some ways will be impacted, I think.
So what's the answer, though? Or are you just saying we're in a time where we don't know what's going to happen and or how to deal with it?
Yeah, I mean, you could... The question is there some category of labor and activity that people want to preserve where I want a human experience? But the thing is, there's not going to be enough of those for everyone to do things. So, it's hard to see past it. So it's going to be... The game is to convince people that this is going to be good for them is what the game is going to be. Whereas, you know, as Catholics, we wouldn't attach ourselves to that type of commitment.
Well, there is also the utopian thinking around it. And one thing that the Catholic Church is opposed to is utopian thinking. I mean, we have utopias that people have written, but the idea that within the horizon of this world, our problems can be solved and we can have the full... Right. That is not the faith. That's contrary to the faith.
Without God's grace, right? This project of we're going to solve and undo the effects of original sin without reliance on God's grace.
Yeah. No. I don't know if you know this, but Catholic Answers Live is a big deal. And we are international, all over the world. And it makes me very happy that Elise is calling from Japan right now. She's listening on the Catholic Answers app. It's breakfast time in Japan, so you could say good morning to Elise. Good morning, Elise. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Yeah, I'm calling again. I called last week.
Oh, you think I forgot that Elise from Japan called before? I'm never going to forget that. I'm delighted when we get a call from Japan and from you, Elise.
Thank you. I'm calling in because you're discussing the topic of AI. And at home, we use it a lot, especially my husband works in a tech company and they're implementing AI a lot. But the thing I wanted to say is that actually using AI helped my husband to be convinced to get into RCIA because we are coming. I'm a revert, and my kids are becoming converts. They're going to get baptized next this coming April, this coming Easter. And the thing is that he had been researching about it also, and he straight out asked me, why shouldn't anyone just be a Protestant? And I kind of freaked out, like, oh no, this is right. So. I got some articles actually from your website, and just very basic things like sola fide, sola scriptura, that kind of stuff. I was able to explain to him using AI as a translator because I'm not a native Japanese speaker and he's not a native English speaker.
Oh.
So we understand enough to live together and everything, but
like theological concepts. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I'm not a professional apologist or anything, but I do know enough. I've learned enough, actually, from Catholic Answers. And I think I mentioned before, Trent Horn and Jimmy Akin, I listen to them a lot. So I was able to have an idea about what to show him. And he talked back about answering what his questions were. And we're using AI to translate everything to us. And as you said, you can upload an article and it will translate it. And it was very helpful, and that's what he said. Oh yeah, you know, Catholicism might be the right path.
Right.
So it was really helpful for that because, the information is not available that much in Japanese, and I'm sure other languages too, that are not as big in having Catholics.
Right.
So it was really important.
That story is fascinating to me, Elise, and it encourages me in this sense, in that the Catholic Church is not afraid of questions because every single question about the Catholic Church has an answer and has a defensible, intelligent, reasonable answer. Now, people can choose to reject those answers if they want, but we are not afraid of, sure, of questions. So the fact that somebody can, probably just about any language on earth, you could say, give me this, or your wife could say, give me this Catholic Answers article, and you could be helped to see the reasonableness of it. Elise, hang on a second. I'm going to come back to you. I want to hear what our guest, Drago Dimitrov, has to say about this. Drago?
Yeah, it's a great example. So two things come to mind. One is, you can take, if you ask an honest question, AI is a great tool. And absolutely, it's deep in my faith. The problem is when people are biased and ask questions that just repeat what they already believe. But if you're going to, ask honest questions, AI is very good. One thing you could do, for example, is have AI take whatever article you're looking at and deconstruct it into a logical syllogism, premises and conclusion. And then you can tell AI, criticize each premise, give the counterarguments, steel man both sides. You can simulate a Socratic dialogue. You can say, what are the eclectic questions? So you can do all that. And right, so it's not only the logic behind something, but then you can add the layer of rhetoric on top. So maybe in Japan, there are specific metaphors that are relevant and persuasive. So now you can take a Catholic Answers idea and you can even tell it, hey, how would this sit in Japanese culture? How can we modify that idea to make it land better? And so those are all very effective uses. And last quick thing I'll say is, I think AI spells the death of atheism. Because atheism is just word games. And I will say, regardless of whatever confusion AI creates, AI will completely bury the new atheist movement and any lingering remnants of atheism.
Yeah, because you can test your atheism against a giant, large language model or something. And it's going to be hard to keep thinking, oh, those theists are just dumb people who want to believe in their magical sky god.
That's right.
You're going to find out, no, they're not. And the arguments are on their side. That's why I feel like the Catholics are never afraid of a question. A question is a great starting point. Elise, I want to come back to you and see if you got anything else you want to share with us.
Oh, I wanted to just add something that if anybody does want to ask things about Christianity or in Catholicism, for example, it's really important to write according to Catholicism, mm-hmm, or in... to write that, because I realized that when we were discussing these topics with my husband, it would give some things that were kind of aligning a little bit with some Protestant beliefs. And I read that and I realized, like, well, you have to be very specific that you're asking within Catholicism. Or you can, as I just heard right now, you can steel man both positions. But yeah, it's important to specify that. That's all I wanted to say if anybody wants to use it.
Yeah.
Watch out for that.
Yeah. I recently had somebody who's a real expert in this say just that you've got to tell the AI who you are and what you're looking for. And so if you say, I'm like, help me to understand this passage of the Bible, I'm a Catholic, I'd use whatever Catholic resources are available, the AI will do it. It'll help you in that regard. But, if you want to hear the Jehovah's Witness side of it, then you go, well, I'm interested in how a Jehovah's Witness would read, and it'll tell you. So I think that's a very good insight, Elise. You've got to tell it who you are, and yeah, that's weird. This part does scare me. You got to share some of yourself with the AI to get it to where you need it. But Elise, both times you've called, I've enjoyed it. I hope you will continue to call.
Thank you very much.
All right. Enjoy your breakfast.
Okay.
What time is it over there?
Right now it's 9:30 a.m. on Tuesday.
Oh yeah. Normally I'm not even out of bed by then. So I don't know, but maybe you're more industrious than I am. Elise, thanks. We'll look forward to talking with you again. 9:30 in the morning. Who gets up that early? That's crazy. That is crazy. Rich in, you know what, Rich in New York, will you just hang on a quick minute? I got to do the break, and I will be right back with more. We're discussing AI and the spiritual implications of it on Catholic Answers Live.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
This is Father Leo Paddlinghug, and why do we need Catholic radio? Well, the answer is simple. The devil, who is very real, uses all forms of communication. And so if we are to understand our purpose in life, it's to make sure that we are not only proclaiming the good news, we're also listening to the good news. And how do you do that? With Catholic radio.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio, now more than ever.
The Catechism defines evangelization as the proclamation of Christ and his gospel by word and the testimony of life. But what does that look like in real life? It looks like St. Paul street evangelists out in the public square sharing the good news. We're a Catholic nonprofit that starts conversations by handing out free sacramentals. Then we employ our method of listen, befriend, proclaim, and invite. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. I'm still here. I keep saying they're going to replace me with AI, but they haven't done it yet. And there's only about, 15 minutes left in the show. So I might, my career might have another 15 minutes in it. 888-318-7884 is the number you want to call. We're talking about AI with the guy who founded Holy Habits. And he told you all about Holy Habits. But it's as simple as that, isn't it? You're just trying to help people build the habits of holiness.
That's right.
And you used your skills to do that, your computer skills.
Use some skills, yeah. You're not going to become a saint, you know. You got to build it. It's not just going to happen automatically. So let's get to it.
Let's get to it. Drago Dimitrov is our guest. You're welcome to call with your questions about AI, 888-318-7884. Now, you're going to think I'm being a smart aleck, but I'm not. I've seen quite a few people on the internet say that AI is dangerous because it's controlled by demons. And I can see where this seems to me an error of anthropomorphizing in the same way that if you said AI is God, you'd be anthropomorphizing. But what do you make of that?
Yeah, it's very difficult because the difficult nature of the question is unfalsifiable. It could be true, could be false, but there's no way for us to prove it. So we have to kind of use our intuition and prayer. So On what makes it valid is some, even the people who work on this technology have admitted that this just seems even like to go beyond what we would expect to be possible with the technology. And certainly, I mean, if you really get into how spirits work with matter, spirits can manipulate matter and there's all sorts of things in that. So, you know, computer infrastructure is matter and electricity. So theoretically, if a spirit can manipulate other atoms, a spirit could manipulate electricity running on circuits. So, I mean, it's something we should always be on the lookout for. Just judge it by the fruits, I guess, right?
Okay. All right. Let's go to Rich in New York. Rich, thank you for waiting. I'm sorry that I kept you waiting so long. Go ahead with your question for Drago.
No problem. And, Cy, thank you. I'm a long-time listener. I was just listening, and ironically, I have a doctorate in computer science.
Oh!
And fortunately or unfortunately, I work with AI quite a bit. And I just wanted to say, you hit the nail on the head when you talked about formation.
Okay.
We see it a lot with junior. We use it a lot for programmers, so software developers can come up to speed and so forth. But your point about formation hit home because we're seeing that the junior level developers that lean on it more and more don't have the retention effectively because they don't have the dwell time. They're getting information highly distilled and spoon fed to them, but they don't have the dwell time of like reading a book and being able to put it together in proper context. Rather, they apply it very quickly and move on to the next issue at hand. And that's where AI is very good for solving very tactical things like, hey, plan an itinerary for a trip. Hey, I need to do X, Y, Z. But as a learning tool, we're seeing it somewhat hit a little bit of a plateau in some cases. It's actually like giving a power tool to a sculptor, a power drill to a sculptor is going to be very productive. If you give it to someone who's not a trained sculptor, they're going to misuse it and so forth. So you, when you mentioned that about formation, it just hit home very, very acutely for me.
Well, so Rich, you're hiring people. You have a doctorate in computer science. What would be the person, what would you like to be the experience of the person that you hired then? You must be thinking about, well, yeah, we don't want these people who have a thin veneer of education because they've been trained basically by the AI. What do you want? What would be the thing that you would think would make somebody successful at this?
We discuss this. Believe it or not, I would say more right brain skills nowadays, more of the creative or the synergistic skills where they could try to piece things together on a big from a big picture, because the order of thinking is getting raised and raised rather than thinking about letters which form words, which form sentences. Now people are going to be asked to form paragraphs, right? As you can imagine, the problems to solve are now highly abstracted. You're not worrying about how to do something, more of what to do. So we really need more of what I would say going back to right brain thinkers, because the tasks of building are becoming more and more commoditized. So it might be an opportunity to flourish more of the artistic, philosophy, theological skills that leverage more of those aspects of learning.
And okay, well, Rich, I really appreciate that, and I appreciate your call very much. If I may, just because you have a doctorate in this, like, in 10 years from now, is AI going to be recognizable to me, or like, are we on an exponential kind of curve now? And we're just at the beginning of it. Where will we be in 10 years with AI?
I think we are going to hit a plateau.
Oh.
And the real breakthrough would be quantum computing.
Okay.
If quantum computing really pushes forward, then I think that would push it to more of an exponential path. But I do think we're going to hit some plateau, because just limited by the means of energy and power and so forth that's needed to scale these, it's diminishing returns.
I gotcha. Okay. Rich, I appreciate your call very much. I'll tell you what, if you hang on the line, I'll ask Edgar to send you any of the Catholic Answers books that we have. If there's one that you would like, we would be happy to send it to you. Thank you very much for the call. What do you think of what Rich was saying?
Drago? Yeah, I mean, for listeners who are familiar, so traditional computing, it's either a one or a zero, but quantum computing is able to kind of leverage the indeterminate states of neither a one nor a zero, or kind of both. So this is why you'll be able to unlock exponential computing with a technology
it
like sound, that.
When you describe it, it sounds like we're going to have computers with anxiety. It sounds like we're going to have computers who are upset. I'm like, it could be left, it could be right, but give me a minute. I got to think this through. Like, is it? Are they going to be anxious?
They don't experience emotional states.
Don't experience emotional. That's right. Well, okay. So let me ask you about that, because I think that a lot of people probably, I don't know what Elon Musk's internal thoughts, values, hopes, dreams are, but it does seem to me that a lot of people of that ilk, of that high-powered, in the industry types, they actually think that they're creating people. They don't think that I don't think most of the intelligent ones think it's people yet.
Yeah.
But they think it's a matter of time before AI is people.
Yeah, and this just goes back to having a good background in philosophy to get through that. So, I mean, what I would say is AI has the accidents of consciousness, but not the substance of consciousness.
Ooh, I like it. Like I that like one. That. Very Catholic. Yeah.
Very Catholic. Yeah. So, but if you're only looking from outside in, especially from a materialist framework, then yeah, it might become indistinguishable. If the external behavior looks synonymous, then they just assume the inside must be identical as well. But it's a fatal assumption.
But this is why I wouldn't. I would be very cautious about letting children play with AI or have AI friends. because they cannot distinguish. You're asking them, they can't distinguish between, you know, Bluey on the TV and a person in the real world. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I know about Bluey, Darren. Darren's like, wow, how did he know about Bluey? I know about Bluey. All right, I'm up on things. But they like, I feel like you could truly shatter a child emotionally and spiritually if they started to think these machines were their friends.
What concerns me is it seems almost intentional. The designers, I mean, you see what Sam Altman announced with how they're excited to release, you know, the adult fantasy stuff.
Yeah.
And Elon Musk and his thing, which I view that as a way to pacify the population so that they're not on the streets mad about not having jobs because you just keep them distracted with all
with
sorts
pornography,
of,
basically. I mean, it does seem to me that all of these technology companies eventually become pornography companies. It just, it's like the whole internet, I can't imagine what percentage, but a giant percentage of the internet must be, maybe somebody studied it. I should go look this up. I should ask ChatGPT this. But like the kind of, like when I heard Sam Altman saying what he was saying last week, which is we want it to be for adults and adults to have these erotic encounters with the computer. Look, first of all, that's never going to be healthy. There's never going to come a day where it's healthy for you. And I'm not even getting into holy. I'm just talking on the natural level. That's not healthy for you to have a erotic encounter with the computer. But it also just seems to me that maybe you're right. Maybe that Sam Altman is smart in that regard, in that it has the pacifying quality. It keeps people from really questioning, hey, wait, this computer took my job.
I think, you know, when you see some of these political crises that we've seen in recent months, and some people get, you know, righteous anger, like, I don't want to live in a society like this where such and such can happen and my kids won't be safe and whatever, right? But what happens is no one does anything because I have my own family to take care of. I got a job. I can't lose my job. I'm not going to go on the street to Capitol Hill and say, change the world. So all these people, these, let's say, good people who want to change and make society better, they're not politically active. But if they don't have jobs, you know, holding that back, well, then you're going to see a rise in political activity and intensity. And so, well, that could be very destabilizing. So I think something like this is also aimed at, stabilizing.
That seems to me a healthy level of skepticism on your part. That actually makes sense to me. But what about, okay, they already tried this, but they're going to get better at this AI stuff. I'm actually really happy to hear Rich's point that he thinks it's going to plateau, because you don't want to see an exponential rise in this stuff. It's a little bit of a breather for society would be very nice. But I always believe in breathers. But what about this? The AI will play the part of Jesus. You can talk to Jesus about your problems. You can talk to Jesus about your, what do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's where we're headed. I mean, the AI, even like when I did that assessment, I said, tell me about me. Like, you have all my chat histories with you. Give me an understanding of Jarvis. And then you read that and you're like, this thing knows me better than anybody, right? So right. In that sense, it creates this thing. And of course, I caught myself. I'm like, oh, that's scary. Got to watch out, you know, for that. So it'll create this feeling of like this companion, you know, this individual, just like me and Jesus, but now it's me and AI. You know, it's a risky thing.
Right. And it's like the apostles tell us that there's a way of life and a way of death, and there's much difference between the two. That's from the Didache, you know, the early Christian document that's attributed to the apostles. So I shouldn't have said the apostles, but it's sometimes called the Teaching of the 12 Apostles. Well, there's a way of life and a way of death, and there's much difference between the two. The reason they say there's much difference between the two is because it's not obvious. At the moment that you're encountering the life-giving power of AI Jesus, it's not obvious to you that you're missing out on the actual life-giving power of Jesus. Mm. You know, we need to be able, and I'm afraid we'll lose the power of distinguishing that and going, I want the real thing. I don't want this AI, fake AI Jesus.
Yeah, well, and this gets layered on with not just the AI, but AI deployed into your glasses, you know, it's augmented.
I know.
AI deployed into some VR stuff. God forbid, the Neuralink, right? I mean, imagine if...
I'm not doing it,
of course. No. But what's going to happen is the people who do it are going to be able to talk to five people at once. They're going to be able to, you know, instead of type the question to AI, they'll just think a thought and then maybe have the answer, which, again, it creates demigods. It's trying to kind of achieve this thing, this Luciferian spirit of elevating you to that realm.
Wow.
But we can use it for good in the meantime.
Drago Dimitrov, he is one of the three founders of Holy Habits. Check out Holy Habits. Check out the app. It might be one that can really help you. Like you, I know you've got a million apps on your phone, but this is one that's not designed just to, you know, entertain or do the other things that apps do, but to actually help you develop those habits that make you more human, that make you more of what God called you to be. Drago, thank you very much for coming in. It was a great pleasure talking with you.
Thank you, sir.
And that will do it for us. We'll see you tomorrow, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.
We'll see AI side.